The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Well, we are picking up where we left off with our series called Elements. The tagline is the chemistry of our faith. The whole idea is that we can take some things that are pretty deep and present them in a way that's simple enough to where you could tell somebody else. And that's kind of our goal for this series. And we've talked over and over about how we would love for everybody that sits through the series to be able to walk away from here knowing what they believe, why they believe it, and equipped and able to either defend what they believe or share that with somebody else. So that's our goal. I think we're about 5, maybe 6 weeks into our series, and I'm hoping that you've already gleaned some information that you can use, and you are that much closer to God, and you know that much more about Him because of our time here. That's really our goal. So I'm hoping that that's going to continue to happen this morning. You know, God's doing some pretty amazing things through our series, and not just this series. We've done several that we have just seen God reach into people's lives and just change lives. Matter of fact, the reason Jerry's not here this morning is because he is in San Diego or in La Jolla. We have nice weather today, though, so we can't complain. But Jerry's in La Jolla today doing a wedding service, which is a renewal of vows. And this came about because of our series that we did a few months back called You Can't Say That in Church. A lot of you guys were here for that series. The importance of honoring God through our sexuality, and through that message and through some contact that Jerry had with some people that were not even here in the service. They actually heard stuff online on the podcast, and they read the article that Jerry had written during the series. And because of that, this family was brought back together. It's just incredible. I mean, God is the only one we can credit for that. And so Jerry is in La Jolla today doing the renewal of the vows of this couple that God repaired their marriage. And so God has His hand in what's going on here at Remnant. So I just wanted to share that story with you guys. Last week, Jerry shared with us about sanctification. It was element SA. And today, we're going to be talking about element SG. But first, let me just remind you guys of a couple of incredible resources. And I share these with you each week, and Jerry and I speak very highly of these. We've got a book by Paul E. Little called Know Why You Believe. A great book. If you haven't checked it out, you definitely need to read that. I have another book called 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity, which is also an incredible book. Not a real difficult book to read, so it's one of those ones where you could, you know, maybe spend a week on that. But by the way, the foreword for that is by a guy named Lee Strobel, who also has some amazing books out there. So anytime you see the name Lee Strobel, you're going to want to get that book as well. And then what we consider one of the best books when it comes to apologetics, which basically is being able to defend what you believe. It's by Josh McDowell. It's called The New Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And incredible resources. Why do we share this with you every week? Because we think that this stuff is vitally important to you and vitally important to your faith and to your growth. As I mentioned this morning, we're going to be covering element SG. This element is actually sort of a tag on to what Jerry talked about last week, a big subject last week, which was sanctification. And sanctification just being that whole process by which God begins to make us more and more like His Son Jesus. Okay? You have a moment in your life where you meet Jesus for the first time. You experience His love and His forgiveness. He comes into your life and He begins to do a transforming work. Well, that work continues on throughout your life. It's not like God says, all right, you're a child of mine, you're saved, you're set. God gives us His Spirit, and God's Spirit is constantly working on us. And so that's the whole process of sanctification. And there's a lot that goes into that, but one area that we want to focus on is spiritual growth. Now, we're all proud when we accomplish something. You do well on a test, you're going to show it off to people, you're going to tell people about it. If you get a good grade in a class, you're going to tell people about it. If you get a bad grade, you're just going to kind of hide that bad boy. You don't want anybody to know that you did miserably. And I remember in college, I was taking a philosophy class. And in high school, I was a nerd. You can't tell that now because I'm just so opposite of a nerd now. But in high school, I had straight A's. And so I had a 4.0 and I just did not want to do anything that would ever damage that. And so as I go to college, I start out my freshman year, I take this philosophy class. And my grade, by about halfway through the semester, looked like it was going to be a C. And so I said to myself, unacceptable. And so I decided I was going to drop that class. And I actually got my first B that semester. Yeah. Different class. I shed a tear. Yeah. Didn't cry when, you know, my family pet died. But when I got my first B, yeah, that was a weeping moment. But I remember taking my report cards home to my parents. I remember showing off my grades and being like, Mom, Dad, look, I got an A. And they're turning to my brother, why can't you be more like your brother? No, they never said that. They were thinking it, though. But we're proud of our accomplishments. We like to see progress happening in our lives. We like to know that we didn't just stay in one spot, but we actually put some distance between where we are now and where we used to be, okay? That's something that people get excited about. And so we're going to be talking about that on a spiritual level this morning. So let's pray and just ask God to really open up our minds and show us the things he wants for us. Father, God, we're talking this morning about something that is so incredibly important to us. Father, it's important to you because you want us to be more and more like your son Jesus. And God, we want that as well. And so this morning, as we look at how that can happen and what goes into that, Father, I pray that you would just show us some things that we didn't already know, God, but also reinforce things that maybe we did know and maybe we just have kind of gotten lazy about them, or maybe we just have never taken that step and decided, I want to commit fully and I want to just begin to grow in ways that I've never grown before. God, whatever is in our hearts right now, Father, I pray that you would make it what you want it to be. And this morning, as we look at your word and as we look at these thoughts and these ideas that you're going to be sharing with us, I pray, God, that they would be things that we don't just hear, but they would be things that we do, that the things that we hear from your word would be translated into action in our lives. Now, Father, I ask that you would speak through me. May my words be your words this morning. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so spiritual growth. We're going to start right out with my first point, which is moving beyond spiritual infancy. Let's talk about this. What do I mean by spiritual infancy? An infant is a baby. That's the common term for a small child. Spiritually speaking, we all at one point are babies. We are all infants at one point. God gives us a brand new life. Things are new. Our perspective is different. We're seeing things in a way we've never seen them before. And it's an exciting time. But I'm afraid for a lot of people that become followers of Jesus, people that become Christians, I'm afraid that they kind of stay in that zone. They kind of stay in that place where they're not challenging themselves to learn more, and they're not accepting the challenge that God's Spirit's giving them to learn more. And so they end up just staying in a place like a baby. They end up really not growing. That would be a sad thing. If that was a physical truth, if you were born as a baby and 3 or 4 years down the road, you still looked like you were only 3 or 4 weeks old, there would be something seriously wrong. And so I think that that's a serious problem for us spiritually. I think that if you are the same person that you were when you first met Jesus, then I think that there's something wrong. I think there should be a growth process happening. And as a matter of fact, Scripture confirms that. I want to share with you guys two passages real quick. And these are passages which the first one, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and he's telling them, hey, this is unacceptable. Okay, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in this Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready, for you are controlled by your sinful nature. So here's a letter that Paul sends to this church some years down the road after having started this church, and he knew these people that had given their heart to Jesus. And at that moment, Paul said, I began to share with you things that are easy for you to receive and easy for you to understand. Paul calls those things milk. So the picture here, the analogy here, is that a baby cannot eat solid food. A baby has to have milk. Our son Josiah just started eating more solid food. And matter of fact, he's been trying to eat just about anything and everything, even things that aren't edible. If we don't watch him carefully, he'll go get the dog's chew toy and snack on that for a little bit. So we got to kind of keep an eye on him. But he's at the place where we can give him little pieces of food. He can sort of chew. He's got like, what, 4 teeth? Okay, but there's progress happening because there was a point when this kid could only have liquids. Okay, he could only have formula. He could only have milk. And then we started moving him up to like the stage one foods where it was, you know, pureed stuff and some of it's disgusting. The green beans. Have you seen the green beans, pureed green beans? Have you? It's a traumatic experience if you've seen it. I used to tell my wife that I didn't want to feed Josiah the green beans because to me they smelled like lawn clippings. I'm like, no, he could just chew on some blades of grass out in the front yard or something. But there was a progression from milk to food that became more and more solid. It was like the stage one, stage two, and stage three food. So there was we could see a visible progression. And here's what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church. He's saying, I'm not seeing that progression. I'm not seeing you going from milk and the things that are easy to swallow to things that you really have to chew on. And he gives a reason why. He says, you're controlled by your sinful nature. In other words, you haven't allowed God's Spirit to be doing a work of progress in your life. Instead, you're allowing your sin nature to once again take charge. Okay, let me share the second passage with you. This is from Hebrews, and we're not really sure who the author of Hebrews is, but some people believe that it's Paul. Once again, a recurring theme here. He says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. You see this analogy here? It's almost like a person who is still a baby and is still drinking milk because they can't handle solid foods. Not only are they physically young, but mentally and emotionally, they're young as well. They can't process things. And so the comparison here is, as you get older and as you're able to consume things that are a little more difficult to eat, then also your mind and your emotions, your mental capacity is able to handle things that are a little more complex and a little more difficult to understand. Does that kind of make sense? Okay, so here we have two letters that have been written to people where the author is saying, hey, there's something seriously wrong here. You're not moving beyond spiritual infancy. And I think that this is a tragic thing. And really, it's one of the reasons that we decided we wanted to do this series. We wanted to make sure that every one of you, that you need to be growing, experiencing spiritual growth. And the only way to do that is to receive the meat, like Jerry says, the meat and potatoes. You guys have heard him say that before. And maybe the first time you heard him say that, you're like, what is this dude talking about? This is what he's talking about. He's saying these are the things that you have to chew on. You will never be an effective follower of Christ if you do not grow beyond the beginning stages of your faith. You're never going to be as effective as God would have you be if you don't grow beyond those first steps. That's why spiritual growth is so important. Because if you're not growing spiritually, you cannot be effective for God. Can God still use you? Yeah, of course God can use you. I mean, God can use any one of us. God can use anything. Like Jerry said, God spoke through a donkey in the Old Testament. You know, God can use anything because God is all-powerful and all-wise. But you are never going to be as effective as you can until you begin to make some spiritual headway, until you begin to grow spiritually. And there's three areas here that I want to share with you. Three areas that you will not be effective, but you need to be effective in. The first is influence. Influence. Second is unity. and the third is longevity. First of all, your influence. Your influence we're defining as the effect you have on the lives of others. The effect that you have on the lives of others. You are never going to be as effective in touching the lives of other people if you remain a spiritual baby. You're not going to be an effective tool in God's hand unless you experience some spiritual growth. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 10, Paul again says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord." So your influence that you have on the people around you is directly related to your spiritual growth. In other words, the further you are along in your relationship with Jesus, the better you can connect with somebody else for God's benefit. Does that kind of make sense? Okay, the better you're able to, or God can use you to make the difference in the life of another person. So spiritual growth is very important for your influence on others. Let's talk about unity. Defining unity as the ability to work alongside others who are serving God. This may come as a surprise to you, but the more spiritually mature you are, the more you have grown in your relationship with Jesus, the better you are at getting along with other people. Yeah, that might be hard to believe. Matter of fact, Paul directly relates the problem of division and disunity in the Corinthian church to spiritual infancy, to not growing spiritually. That chapter or that verse I shared with you earlier from 1 Corinthians, the rest of that, 1 Corinthians 3, 3 through 4, he says this, "For you are still controlled by your sinful nature." Then he says, "You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other." Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you says, "I'm a follower of Paul," another says, "I follow Apollos," aren't you acting just like people of the world? See, what was happening in the Corinthian church was that because they were not growing spiritually in the way they were supposed to be, they had kind of developed some schisms in the church. They had developed some divisions, some things that they were arguing about, they were quarreling about. Check out what they were arguing about. Two great pastors, a guy named Paul who founded the church, a guy named Apollos who came in and taught them a whole lot about God's word. So some of them were saying, "Oh, I'm with Paul, man. Paul's a better pastor. He's a better speaker. You know, he's better looking," or whatever. I don't know what their argument was. No, I'm with Apollos. He's got a cooler name, you know. But see, so there was a division going on. And some of the people in the church, what were they disagreeing on? They were disagreeing on one person liked this pastor or this man of God more than the other. It's ridiculous. Because they were learning from both of these men, and there was no reason for that division. And Paul directly related that division. By the way, that was not the only problem that was they were dealing with in the Corinthian church, and I believe that all the problems that they were dealing with stemmed from the fact that they were not growing spiritually. They were not making the progress that they needed to be making in their relationship with Jesus. Instead, they were divided. And so unity, it's very important for unity for you to grow spiritually. And I'll tell you what, people that are difficult to get along with right now, if you're closer to Jesus, that person's a little easier to get along with. You want to know why? Not because, you know, something magical happened to them and they became a nicer person or more agreeable. No, because God is working on your heart and he's giving you the ability to have the patience or to have the ability to relate to that person. And the thing is, you're beginning to see that person through God's eyes and you're beginning to relate to that person in a way that Jesus would have you relate to that person. You can be unified even with someone that you don't necessarily agree with if you're making some progress in your spiritual life. Does that make sense? The more progress you're making in your spiritual life, the more apt you are to get along with other people, and especially people that have the same mind as you, that want to serve God and that want to see God's kingdom be advanced. Okay, so unity. Longevity, the next one. And I'm defining it as remaining faithful over a long period of time. This is a big one because I've seen many a person who gave their heart to Jesus, and it seemed like they were starting off on the right foot, and it seemed like they were making some progress, and then somewhere along the way, they just disappeared. And I didn't see them anymore. I mean, maybe they were going somewhere else to learn. But too many times, I met back up with someone who had never really grown in their faith, and they kind of began to walk away from it. They began to walk away from the God who loved them so much that he sent his son to die for them and offer them forgiveness and grace. And to walk away from that, what would you have to do? you would have to begin to grow distant from the God that's trying to create this progress in you. You would be becoming distant from God's Spirit who's trying to do a work in you. It's a progressive work. And I say longevity because the more you allow God to work on you and the more you learn from God and the more you grow in your relationship with Him, the stronger your faith becomes. And when something comes your way that might try to sway you a different direction, you're going to stand strong because you've spent time with the truth. You've spent time with the one that saved you. Look at Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. It says, "Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church." So here's a description of the life that you're going to lead if you're growing in a spiritual fashion. If you're allowing God's Spirit to be doing that work of progress in your life, you're going to be a much stronger person tomorrow than you are today. You're going to be a much stronger person a year from now than you are today if you're allowing God to do that work in your heart, if you're allowing His Spirit to make that spiritual progress in your life. Okay, so how does this all happen? I mean, we're talking about spiritual growth and how vitally important it is for us to have influence on the people around us, for us to be all in agreement, for us to still be around 10 years down the road and still following after Christ. That's all important, but how does that happen exactly? So let's talk about heading towards spiritual maturity. Heading towards spiritual maturity. You have some exciting milestones in your life. One of those might be getting your driver's license. Does everybody remember if you have your driver's license? If you don't, sorry. Do you remember when you got your driver's license? Do you remember how you felt? You felt like 10 years older. You felt mature. You thought you were an adult. Yeah, until your keys got taken away from you, and then you were reminded that you were just a kid with some car keys. I remember putting it off for as long as I could. I saw my brother, my older brother, and my older sister, when they got their driver's license, all of a sudden they had to like go grocery shopping. You know, it wasn't like this great freedom, you know, yes, I'm an adult, I can drive a car. It was more like, now you're my personal slave. My parents would be like, oh, we need a gallon of milk. You got your driver's license, you go get it. And then sometimes it was, you got your driver's license and you have some money of your own too. So we get excited about those milestones where we feel like we're growing up, where we're maturing. Another milestone might be a graduation from high school or from college, and you have a sense of accomplishment, and you say to yourself, wow, I am grown up. I have made some amazing progress. Let's talk about what that's like to be spiritually mature, to have a milestone, spiritually speaking, in your life. Check this out. I love this. This is a little bit lengthy, but I love this passage I'm about to read with you, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Verse 5, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patience, patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you'll be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that an amazing passage? I mean, what an incredible description of the work that God's Spirit wants to do in our lives. If we just surrender ourselves to Him, if we just say, yes, God, I want to grow. I want to be more like Jesus. And as soon as we say that, as soon as we step down that path, God begins to do all this amazing stuff. I love the progress here where God is saying, I'm going to take care of the way you act, okay, moral excellence. In other words, your behavior is going to begin to change, okay, and that's going to increase with the knowledge, the things that you learn from God. And your self-control, your ability to resist temptation, You're going to have patience. None of us want patience, right? The only way to learn patience is to go through an experience that requires patience. Okay, and godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. I like the fact that love is a little further down the road. It's almost like we have to learn how to love. It's like God takes us through a progress and says, okay, you've learned a lot about me. Now you're able to love other people the way I love you. Pretty cool. That's what we call spiritual maturity. Okay, so three things. The first, increasing in your understanding of God's word. These are steps that have to happen as you spiritually mature. Increasing in your understanding of God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study diligently to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's an emphatic scripture that's telling you you need to be spending time in God's word. If you're going to grow, if you're going to mature spiritually, you need to be spending time in God's word. And it doesn't just say, you know, flip through the pages. No, it says study, be diligent about it. Actually learn. That's what needs to be happening in order for us to grow spiritually. The second thing, decreasing in your frequency and severity of sin. That sounds like some sentence I made up. But my point is this. You're going to less often do things that are offensive to God. Okay, so in other words, the things that you're doing that are wrong are going to become less and less a part of your life as you spiritually mature. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Now, I don't want to mislead you and say that you're going to reach a point where you become so spiritually mature that you don't do anything wrong. There are actually pastors that would tell you that, but that's not true. I would be lying to you. I'd be deceiving you if I were to tell you that you could reach a point in your life that's a pinnacle where you can't get any better. That's impossible. Because until the day that you stand before your Savior and you see him face to face, until that moment, you're going to be messing up. Now, that's not the best news, but the good news is that we're all in the same boat. We're all going to continue to make mistakes. But are you understanding that those mistakes, those things that we do, are going to be a less and less a part of our lives the closer we are to God and the more we're growing in him? The less we're going to be doing things that are dishonoring to him. The third thing is increasing in your possession of Christ-like qualities. There are certain things that we want to be as a description of our life if we're going to grow spiritually. There are certain things that we want to possess. And anything that would be an attribute of Jesus would be something for us to covet. It would be something that we want to have. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots go down into him and let your lives be built on him. You want to be more and more like Jesus. When people see you, they should see characteristics of Jesus. We were at Turn Your Campus about a month ago, and the guy that was speaking, great, great speaker. We loved getting to hear him. But he was talking about that old commercial, and some of you guys aren't going to remember it because it was that long ago. The old commercial, I think it was a Gatorade commercial. They were trying to get people to be like Michael Jordan, and they're saying you could be like Mike. You know what I'm talking about, some of you guys? Okay, I want to be like Mike. Well, anyway, this guy was saying that there were all kinds of young kids that were, you know, out trying to be like Michael Jordan because of that commercial. You know, they were like, I can be like Mike. And so you're going and they're slam dunking out in their driveway. You know, they got the 6-foot basketball hoop. But they wanted to be like him. Matter of fact, I think I read in some news article that some kid like bit his tongue off or something because he was trying to be like Mike. You know, when Michael Jordan's, he stuck his tongue out a lot. So anyway, if you need to know anything about Michael Jordan, just ask Victor. So he'll tell you all about him. So this guy was talking about that commercial, and he was saying, no, the Christian's aspiration, the thing that we want to be like is Christ. And then he got everybody in the room singing, I want to be like Christ. We're not going to do that this morning, but it was pretty cool. The whole idea in your Christian walk is that you would be more and more like Jesus. Learning to grow spiritually is a lifelong journey that happens as you read and apply God's word. Ephesians 4:13 says, "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." We want to be like Christ. And that's why I say the best summary of spiritual growth is becoming more and more like Jesus. You can summarize everything that's happening in your life, everything that God's Spirit is doing in your life, by saying, "Yes, I'm becoming more and more like Jesus." That's the spiritual progress we're talking about. It's not some secret spiritual formula. It's simply spending time with the person that you want to be more like. You know, when couples get together, they begin to kind of act a little bit more like each other. They begin to like the same things. Some people say they even start to look like each other. This might be true. One time I saw this guy walking his dog, and I'm like, man, I think he's really close to his pet, because they're starting to look a lot alike. But the thing is, the more time you spend with somebody, the more like that person you become. And so this whole idea of growing spiritually, we don't want to complicate it by telling you that there's a formula that you have to adhere to. Well, the fact is, there is a formula, but that formula is simply spending time with Jesus. And the way you do that is by spending time in His Word and spend time in prayer with Him. And the more time you spend with Jesus, the more like Him you're going to become. And this brings us to our last point this morning, which is following the lead of God's Spirit. Following the lead of God's Spirit. In order for you to grow spiritually, you have to be able to recognize when God wants you to change something, when God's Spirit is saying, hey, you need to do this. We need to be sensitive to God's Spirit's leading in our life. The honest truth is this: when you begin a relationship with Jesus, God gives you His Spirit, and His Spirit dwells in you. God's Spirit dwells in you. You can't get much closer to somebody than that. And so the fact that God's Spirit is in you is the perfect situation for you to be led by God's Spirit. And so why isn't every single person that is a follower of Jesus doing exactly what God's Spirit is telling us? It's because we're constantly blocking out God's voice with our sin nature. The things, the desires of our heart that maybe sometimes they're not necessarily even bad things, but they're not the things that God wants us pursuing. And so we push out the voice of God. And so I want to encourage you, and I challenge you this week, to begin to try to listen to God's Spirit and see how God can lead you. Because if you're listening, He will be speaking to you. And I'm not saying you're going to hear an audible voice. If you do, tell me about it, because that would be an interesting story. I'm not saying that you're going to get those kind of directions, but God is going to speak to you, the Bible says, in a still small voice. God is going to be telling you and directing you through His Spirit. And so I would encourage you and challenge you to follow the lead of God's Spirit. Galatians 5:16 through 17. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires." Here's a description of a battle that's constantly going on inside of us. And the voice that we're listening to the most is the one that's going to be leading and directing us. But I have to say this: without the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit, spiritual growth would be impossible. Absolutely impossible. Without the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to tune ourselves in to what God is saying. How can you do that? Once again, the formula is simple. It couldn't get any simpler than this. But yet, it's something that we have to remind ourselves and constantly be on ourselves to do. Spend time in God's Word. Spend time in prayer. And you're going to be making yourself available to be led by God's Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Is there one part of your life that's not important enough for God to have control over? For God to lead you in? No. And I hope if you've been going to Remnant long enough, we've touched on some subjects and some areas of our lives that, you know, no one even wants to touch. But we've said, God wants control. God wants to lead you in those areas of your life. Even the areas of your life that you're ashamed of and that you don't want to talk about, God is saying, my Spirit wants to lead you in that area so that that area of your life becomes an area that's honoring to Him instead of something that's offensive to Him. Romans 8:8-9 says, "That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Don't give in to your sinful nature, but instead respond to the voice of God's Spirit. Instead, allow God's Spirit to lead you. God called us out of a dark and desperate place into a place of forgiveness and light. And God is saying, I want you to continue in that place, and I want you to continue to grow. You're a completely different person today than you were when you first met me. I want to just close our time with a word of prayer. And as I do that, we're actually going to move into sharing communion, the Lord's table. But I feel like I want to just briefly explain what's going to be happening. And in light of the things we've been talking about this morning, growing in our relationship with God, sometimes we simply need to reflect on our lives and ask ourselves, is the way I'm living, the things I'm doing, is it bringing honor to God? And if it's not, we need to reach a point where we confess what's dishonoring to God, and then we decide, God, I'm going to repent from that. I'm going to turn away from that. So we confess those things to God, and then we say, God, through your Spirit and through your power, I'm going to turn my back on those things that are dishonoring to you. And we're reminded to do that whenever we come to the Lord's table. Now, the Lord's table simply is a symbol. We have the bread and we have the grape juice. The bread reminds us of Jesus' body that was broken for us. When he died on the cross, when he laid down his life for us, his physical body experienced pain and brokenness, and that bread reminds us of that. And then the juice reminds us of Jesus' blood that was spilled for us. And the Bible says that without the shedding of that blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. And so it's important that we reflect on the fact that Jesus gave his blood for us, his body and his blood for us. And so that's what that table is all about. It's a reminder to us. And so two things. First of all, you're reflecting on your life and your relationship with God. And like I said, in light of what the things we've talked about today, I think every single one of us would say there's definitely some work we need to do. We need to be making some visible progress in our spiritual walk. And so we need to reflect on what's going on in our hearts right now and where we are at in our relationship with God. And if there's things that are dishonoring to God in our life, I challenge you to use this time, use this opportunity to confess those things to God and ask him to give you victory over those things. And then we're going to go to the communion table and we're going to take of the bread. We're going to eat a piece of the bread, remembering the body that was broken for us, and we'll drink the juice. And as I said, it's a symbol of what Jesus did for us, and it's a reminder of the incredible sacrifice that he made for us. So I'm going to ask the worship band to come, and we're going to be singing this last song. But I would invite you, before we actually sing this song, we're just going to be playing softly, and I would encourage you just to spend some time with God. And if there's business that you need to do with God, if there's things that you need to get right with him, I encourage you to do that. And at any time when you feel ready, during that time right before we begin to sing the song, or even during the song, we invite you to go back to the table in the back there and take of the bread and the cup. And I think the kids are going to be coming in also to share in communion as well. So let's just give this time to God, and let's go to him in prayer. Father, there's some big steps that we need to take. God, there's some progress that we need to make. This element is tough for us, God, because it involves surrendering our own will. It involves turning away from sometimes our desires. But God, if you're doing a work in our heart, the things that you desire are going to become the things that we desire. The more time we spend with you, Father, the more like you we're going to become, and the more our hearts are going to line up with yours. So I pray, Father, for each person in this room that would be true for them. And maybe they've heard some new things this morning that will affect that walk and that growth. But I pray, God, that you would just do an incredible work. We see you working already, Father, but God, we ask that you would continue to do amazing things in our lives as we, with all our hearts, desire to grow in our relationship with you. Father, help us to be led by you. And thanks, God, for loving us so much. Thanks for this table that we're going to share, and for the bread that reminds us of the body of your Son, Jesus. He was broken for us. And thank you, God, for the blood that was spilled for us so that we could even have forgiveness. We could even have a relationship with you. God, it's such an incredible gift. And I pray, God, that in this quietness, we would be reminded of that. We would reflect on our hearts and where we're at with you. And I pray that we would walk away from here, God, with a desire to be more and more like you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.